think I'm going to speak for the city on this one. I am more than qualified to relay this message.
Who are you?
Because I'm Duval till I die. I'm going to speak from a place of where we've been. You see, we done been to 2-14, 3-13, 4-12.
Ew.
We've seen 5-11 and 6-10.
Sheesh.
We even touched 1-15.
And that would put the capper on a 1-15 season for Jacksonville.
But check this out. What's up? One thing's for certain and two things for sure. Uh-huh. Things are about to change.
You know, you put it in perspective. It's about life. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
You see, us as a team and us as a city, since about 95, we've been in this together.
Since inception!
So please be on notice. That respect that we haven't been getting, don't worry about it, because we coming to get that.
Put some respect on my name.
Trevor, you are a big stepper.
In the 2021,
that's why we chose you to head up this team.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
And please understand that Duval,
Jacksonville.
Oh, Duval stretches far. I'm talking Dunn Avenue to the beaches, Ponte Vedra to Moncrief.
Dang, that's far.
103rd out east. And some
way over yonder.
Trust and believe that all over the city, it's all gas, no brakes, 10 toes down. So what I need for y'all to do is give me the biggest, loudest Duval as possible.
Let's go.
You ready? 1, 2, 3.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DeRocco.
All right, welcome to everybody. Happy Thursday to you. As I get the sense, Tony, ET is trying to reboot the season. Running that back, the abridged version.
Preseason is over with.
Finally, you got the fourth preseason game done.
Yes.
You're telling me we have something special from your laboratory for tomorrow's show.
I cooked a little bit because it's the first home game, baby. Let's go!
All right, ET has come full circle. Mopey Monday to Fired Up Thursday. D-Rock, champ, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm great!
You should be.
My wallet is still full?
Yeah, your wallet's full and your belly's full.
Always. My belly's always full.
Well... True story for you and me both. But D-Rock was our Breakfast Bowl champ last year, and he opened up his title defense with
strong
a victory
first week.
I 2 points ahead of me. So, but it was a strong first week. It was a good first week, and a victory is nice. Victory generally judged by not being in last place. Nobody in these two rooms had to buy breakfast, but
nope.
Taylor Dahl will be along later to explain herself.
I would like to say, for the record, Taylor was very nice, and she sent us the message of what would you guys like.
She took our order.
Yes, she did. That was fantastic, and we all basically told her what we wanted, and then E is like, I want loser.
Loser.
I'm like, that's a little, it's like week one. It's her first week. Cut her a break.
She claims Chick-fil-A forgot your fruit cup.
Yeah. So, allegedly.
Yeah, that went right out the window. Like, should have been E's. Right out the window. But.
We're equalist around here at Jaguars today. Yeah. We practice equality.
So I don't have any issue with Taylor buying breakfast for the next 17 weeks if she wants to. Go right ahead. The worst part, it's not the worst that you have to buy breakfast occasionally. It's that you have to buy breakfast in a week where one of your opponents, Emmanuel, had 2 zeros in his lineup out of 5 players. Not his fault on Gus Edwards. Who tore his ACL literally hours after he selected him with his first pick of the year. But I tried. E, you thought I was kidding about Brandon Ayuk.
I don't believe nothing that come out your mouth, buddy.
All right.
Not on Thursdays.
That's honestly probably a good philosophy, but I was not lying in that particular case. So, all right. Good morning, everyone. Let's get right to it with the head coach of the Jaguars yesterday. Urban, you interested in that Southern Cal job?
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
He said enthusiastically. D-Rock, yeah. What about all the – is this just a case of the Sharks are circling, they're waiting for Urban's every misstep, and
yes.
They're pouncing on it? Is that what you would read into? The national media
yes,
has got Urban in the crosshairs in a huge way right now. Now, look, he deserves some criticism for the performance, the lack of discipline, attention to detail, execution in game one. Not saying that he doesn't, but you know, the continued narrative of it's collapsing in upon him. You know, he's not long for Jacksonville. He thinks
one
he's
game
made
in.
A terrible mistake. I mean,
yeah,
what do you
got asked about USC and his demeanor yesterday.
Yes,
on the sideline.
I just want to talk.
We're
about
a weekend.
I just want to talk.
Yeah,
about
it's look. I told the guys in the media room yesterday. Look, if there's anybody in the media that could legitimately have a reason, or if they did hate Urban Meyer, you would understand. It's the guys that covered him at Florida. When the day after Christmas in 2009, he resigns. We get an email out of the blue that night. He resigns. Then we're flying like hell real quick to New Orleans the next morning, land in New Orleans like, oh, never mind, I changed my mind. I mean, the amount of – I mean, if anyone's going to hate him, if it was somebody there, you know, like I was on that beat then, Mark Long was on that beat then, you know, Robbie Andrew, Pat Dooley, all those guys. If anyone were going to hate Urban and it was one of those people, I'd be like, yeah, I kind of get it. I kind of get it. That was a weird and crazy – And just an unbelievable situation. But the amount of hate that Urban gets from people nationally that have never met him, never covered him, never spoken to him, it's I just don't get it. I really don't.
Well,
I mean,
I do, to some degree.
I mean, okay, look, the Zach Smith situation, yes, I get it. Okay, that is absolutely abhorrent. And if you want to hate Urban for that, that is completely and totally up. Fine. You know, if that's what, but that's not what it is. That's not why these people hate Urban. I don't understand what it is, because it's every single football move, every single decision he makes, they hate. Every, you got him saying, we get, I don't want to name the guy, but I'll name him. We get Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk saying, well, you know, the local media never asks the tough questions of the coaches they cover, okay, because, you know, they don't want to ruin a relationship.
Ruin right.
And that's why, and it was so bad that Urban didn't do these teleconference with the opposing media, because, you know, they would ask the tough questions. So then we asked him the question. The question gets asked. And then the answer is, well, you know, what else is he supposed to say? I mean, he's not going to say yes. I mean, so, you know, boy, and it was a bad question. It's like, whatever he does, there's a large segment of people in the media nationally that are going to hate him and not really care. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I'm not defending Urban. When Urban does something stupid, I'll rip him. The Chris Doyle stuff, unbelievably stupid. And he got ripped for it, as he should have.
Yeah, it's like, but people lump that. They lump drafting Travis Etienne in round one in with the Chris Doyle thing as if they're at all similar. Like, you can have a philosophical difference on how to build a football team. It doesn't necessarily make you an idiot, right? And we'll see how it would have played out. We don't know if Travis Etienne had stayed healthy. Let me ask you this, because I've been on those, and Tony, I know you have as well, these midweek conference calls. But, you know, for radio, they're terrible, because they're literally, like, they put you on a speakerphone. You can't, it's not even worth recording. And so you don't really get much out of it in terms of sound, but you get the what was said. Did David Culley do one last week? Did Vic Fangio do one this week?
Fangio did one this week. David Culley didn't do one last week. Now,
where are the angry stories being written about this?
For me, those aren't – those things were designed for the local media to ask questions for stories they're working on.
Correct.
You know, mainly for the newspapers, the local newspapers.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, that's what this was designed for years and years and years ago. This has been going; they've been going on for forever. But like at ESPN, there's an ESPN writer, Sarah Barshop's in Houston. So if I need anything from David Culley, I can just send her an email; and she can get it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So those teleconferences may not be as useful for a guy like me or a guy like Mark Long with the Associated Press, because he's got a Houston's writer there, an AP writer in Houston as well. But I mean, it's still a good chance to, you know, if you're working on some other stories and you want to ask. But those were not designed for the visiting, like us, to get on there and grill Vic Fangio about coaching decisions he made or hires he made, you know, or ask a question that, you know.
Yeah, but I'll say this. As a reporter, you don't, like, you can't tell me what I can ask.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, so right. whatever you, quote, design it for, if you're making the coach available to the media and they're covering the National Football League,
right.
I think pretty much anything is fair game.
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that's not what people did on those.
Let me put it to you this way. Do you think Tom Coughlin would have done it if they were optional back in the day?
No.
Never. Never would have done one.
No.
Not, I mean, honestly, you know, so that's the problem. If you want to make, if you're going to make them optional.
He wouldn't do local media if it was optional.
Right.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
I think the problem was.
Irvin
actually
does a ton. Yeah. We were talking about it yesterday. How many, I mean, he's getting in front of a mic like every day this week.
Yeah, we'll hear from him again tomorrow.
Yeah, he goes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then postgame.
And he had the coach's show on Tuesday.
Correct.
So.
Correct. I mean, look, those things are very, very useful. And I guess I'm more angry with the criticism of the questioning. And like I said on Twitter, like I've been doing this for, I mean, since 2000, you know, when I started covering Florida. I've never worked with a beat writer, never, that was afraid to ask the coach that they cover a question. And I think that's kind of what pissed me off more than anything else. About the, you know, the criticism of the people around covering a team not asking questions. And it's like, yeah, I've never been in a media group that was afraid to ask a question.
Clearly,
so,
your
now,
fault. Had you asked better questions, the Jags would have won in week one, and we all know that.
Well, there is that. But, you know, I'll say this. These things should not be, they should not, I understand the criticism of Urban not doing it. But these things should be mandatory. These things should they should take. It's a 15-minute. What do you mean commitment?
I agree with you.
You know,
but if you're going to not make it mandatory,
right.
Then you're giving them an like you know if you have the option to do or not do something and you exercise your option. It was like I always defended Doug Marrone
right.
for leaving Buffalo. If you don't want him to leave, don't give him the option
don't
to opt out of his
contract.
Or otherwise, you know it's a possibility he might utilize that. You gave him that option, and now
right.
you're ticked off that he actually exercised his rights. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
So I never once got on Doug Marrone about the way he left Buffalo. You know, just anyway, that's ancient history. Now, today, got a question today about the balance in the offense. Okay, the running game. We're asking you to predict the stat lines for both James Robinson and Carlos Hyde versus Denver this week. And if you're willing to do it, we're looking for rushes, rushing yards, catches, receiving yards, and total touchdowns, and break it out for each guy. How you see the split going, how much volume they're going to get, how productive you think they will be against the Denver Broncos this week. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco, E.T. We got Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post. He's always a cheery disposition guy.
Hey, I love Ryan. Ryan's a good dude.
And sometimes he's not a cheery disposition guy, though. But he'll join us next.
He's funny.
We'll talk about the Denver Broncos. Oh, look, I like Ryan, too. I have a good relationship with Ryan and have for years. But nevertheless, he can be quite the curmudgeon. There's no question about it. Mr. I go to London and eat nothing but McDonald's for the week. Ryan O'Halloran will join us coming up next. We'll hear from Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, Shaq Griffin, LaVisca Chenault. All that. We got tons of audio for you today. We got Breakfast Bowl Week 2. See if Taylor Dahl can bounce back. If you want to get in, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN Duraco, and at IME2 the T.
Come on, somebody.
All right, here we go. He's back. He's in full throat today. ET did not have to buy breakfast, so
no.
He's in a tremendous mood. His belly is full like the rest of us here. We are off and rolling. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
One thing I would plot Urban with is bringing in Schottenheimer and Bevel. It would be very easy for Urban to bring in some of his buddies to coach this offense, but he had brought in guys who've developed quarterbacks, and they're going to help Lawrence navigate through the ups and downs, which is going to happen of a rookie season in the NFL.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The legend returns, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not talking about Mike DiRocco. He's here every week. Okay,
I had to follow the legend.
You
That's
did.
What I had to
the
follow.
Guy who
that
used
was a tough
to be.
Job.
Yes.
I'm the Ron Zook.
Our old Thursday regular.
To Ryan Steve Spurrier.
They tell me the greatest sports writer in the history of the state of Colorado, Mr. Ryan O'Halloran, formerly of the Florida Times Union, now at the Denver Post and has been for a while. Joining us here on Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DiRocco. Good morning, Ryan O.
Good
Fellas, how we doing?
We're doing well. How are you, man? How are things?
Good.
How are things out in Denver? Everybody optimistic off a season opening win? Because things are very cheery around these parts.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. It's a DEFCON situation in Jacksonville, but here in Denver, they got a monkey off their back last week with Vic Fangio. They started 0-4, 0-3 the last 2 years, so they realized the importance of winning the opener and not in erasing that narrative. And people say, and the Giants aren't very good. Well, they weren't very good, but if you, as the Broncos, think you're going to be relatively decent, you go to New York and you take care of business. And I think the same thing holds true for this Sunday. Is they probably have better personnel, but the Jaguars, I would expect them to play better.
Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater just keeps chugging along in his career, finding ways to win games, it feels like, every season. What would it take at this point for Drew Lock to catch Teddy Bridgewater as the starting quarterback there in Denver?
Yeah, multiple losses in a row, Tony. It was a competition that was closer than probably the Broncos anticipated, because Drew Lock had a good camp and he had a good preseason game and a half. But I think the schedule of facing young quarterbacks and rebuilding teams, I think that played a part in making the safer choice with Teddy in terms of, don't turn it over, make your plays on third down, which is what he did against the Giants. They had 7 of 15 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down. So I think he's got a pretty firm grip of the job, and it's simple for Teddy. They win, you keep starting, period.
Ryan, what's the chances of Bradley Chubb going? And over under on how many sacks he and Von Miller will have against Juwan Taylor and Cam Robinson on Sunday?
Yeah, Chubb is interesting. D-Rock is, this time last week, they were expecting him to play against the Giants with that ankle, but he didn't. Just didn't progress enough. He didn't even try it out pregame. He was limited yesterday. If he is full today, we won't know until around 4 Eastern. That's a good sign. If not, Malik Reed will start opposite of Vaughn. In terms of the pass rush, there is an advantage. The Broncos are not a major blitzing team, which is sort of what Houston did. They went a 4-man rush and they were able to create pressure. But I think Vaughn had a great start. He'll be going against Juwan Taylor, the right tackle. That's a matchup that the Broncos should like.
Yeah, I would think so, based on early returns, or really career returns at this point in time. Ryan O'Halloran here with us. Ryan, I'm curious, from your perspective, how you thought Trevor Lawrence's debut went. Some good things, and obviously nowhere near perfect, but what are you hearing from the guys getting ready to face him this week as well?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater brought him up and says, because he said you watch a little bit of the offense during the course of watching the film, and he says clearly Lawrence has that it factor. That's a very pretty big compliment from a veteran quarterback. And, one thing that Vic Fangio said yesterday is, hey, the stack was dealt against Trevor in that game because he had to chase it. But he made some good throws. I thought he made a couple of dynamite throws. Rookie quarterbacks, there's going to be interceptions. He just has to avoid that third one where he didn't really know where the ball was going. And when you're throwing 51 times, that's a recipe for turnover. So I think, the one thing that I found that Urban said yesterday was interesting in terms of is Lawrence using his athleticism more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you got to be smart doing that because these are big, fast guys that are chasing them. And maybe you leave the pocket a little bit, throw on the run. One thing I would do if I'm the Jags, I would move the pocket to start if you're going to use a 5-man protection. And so I think there's definitely should be some conversations about the adjustments they need to make with their play calling.
How do the Broncos go about trying to replace Jerry Jeudy for the month or so that he's going to be out?
Yeah, KJ Hamler and Tim Patrick are the next two guys up. KJ had that big drop, should have been a 50-yard touchdown in the third quarter on Sunday, but he came back later and had a 22-yarder on third down. Tim Patrick is a worker bee. Undrafted, cut several times by teams. He didn't have a drop last year, and so he's pretty steady. The one thing that Jeudy's injury is going to impact it is it probably eliminates using Cortland Sutton in the slot where he can go against maybe a nickel who's bigger and stronger than. Got to keep Sutton outside. So I think they'll use a lot of two tight ends, get Fant and Albert O a lot of touches that way to replace Jeudy's production.
Yeah, it seems like the Jags historically have been sliced up by tight ends pretty good. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that continues. Farrell Brown had a decent showing for the Texans in week one. Ryan, just curious on your perspective. You are obviously outside the 904 area code, and we see things a certain way. Like, I feel like a lot of the stories on Urban Meyer get lumped together. Like, the Chris Doyle thing's in one category. Drafting Travis Etienne is just a philosophical football decision, you know, and but people are like, you know, one mistake after another mistake after another, you know. And how do you look at the first half year or so since Urban Meyer and the crew have been in charge?
Well, you mentioned those things. The Etienne thing is that's your draft pick. You can do what you want. You know, had they not taken Travis, they might have taken Tyson Campbell, which they got the next night anyway, so play corner. So it was just a bread. You know, if Javonte Williams was the next running back off the board, the Broncos traded up for him. He is more of a true pounder running back, totally different player than Travis. The Doyle thing, obviously a bad decision that they, you know, took care of. And, you know, the OTA fines and whatever, you know, and it didn't help the perception. They looked terrible against the Saints on national television. And so that sort of fed the narrative. Sure. And people who are against Urban are not going to really consider the facts. I mean, I don't have a dog in the fight. I've never met him. You know, I just know that he was a great college coach, and there is a natural transition to the NFL. The only thing, the thing he's got going for right now, and the thing that is the most important thing for him every day he walks in that office is, how do I keep number 16 upright?
Right.
And I think that's what he has to spend a lot of his time on instead of building the foundation and, you know, all these other terms he's using is, stick your head, get involved with that offense, make sure you're protecting Trevor Lawrence and you're making him successful, because he has the capability to carry this franchise on his shoulders.
We certainly hope so. Rhino, I'll end with this, asking for a few million friends out there. Melvin Gordon had the big run in week one, but Javonte Williams got a lot of touches. What's the likelihood that Javonte takes over this backfield at some point this season?
Yeah, I think very high, and I'm familiar with some of those million friends. the playing time last week was 33 snaps apiece. So that's sort of their feeling. Melvin had that 70-yarder to get the 101. Javonte had tough sliding. So I do think if Williams starts to assert himself, they'll start leaning that way. But right now, they feel very comfortable with him as a rookie playing on third down, which could take away some of his touches. So I don't think I would start either guy for at least a couple weeks until there's a more solid division of labor.
Yeah, that's mostly how people are handling it right now. He knows exactly where I'm going with that. Ryan, always appreciate it, man. We know you're doing great out there in Colorado. So continued success, and hopefully we'll get to see you. You know, don't be a stranger. Poke your head in the radio studio if you get a chance on Sunday.
Am I even allowed down there?
I don't know, man. tell them, you know, JP Shadrick, and, you know, that'll get you pretty much anywhere.
Mike's trying to get, Ryan on the ground with security standing on his back. What are you doing?
That would be awesome. That would be kind of funny. Ryan, best to you, man. Safe travels, and hopefully, some of us, at least D-Rock, will see you on Sunday if Tony and I don't get a chance to. Always enjoy the conversation, though, man.
Okay, fellas. Take care now. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. At Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter is where you'll find him there. I thought that was actually a pretty measured look at things. You know, mm-hmm. People who have an axe to grind are going to find plenty of reasons to grind that axe. And, you know, the rest of it, look, he's right. You know, if your exposure to the Jaguars is you hear a few things that haven't gone well, they have a terrible track record in recent years, not that that's Urban's fault whatsoever, but then you put them on national TV on that Monday night and they lay that big egg and you're like, oh, okay. And then they do it again against the Houston Texans, and they look really out of sorts. I mean, that's part of the issue. D-Rock, we'll get into that on the other side. Was that the most concerning thing? And how did that, frankly, happen for the Jags? And look ahead as well. We'll hear from Urban Meyer coming up next segment, a little bit from Trevor Lawrence, Shaq Griffin, and I don't know if we'll have time for Biska next segment. We'll try to get to him as well, as Hayes Carline went one-on-one with him in anticipation of the Jaguars' 2021 home opener with Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, here we go with Mike DiRocco in every Thursday. Tommy Mack coming up tomorrow. We got Monty Ball joining us tomorrow, former Denver running back. He's a podcaster. Who isn't a podcaster these days? You're a podcaster, Tony. D-Rock, you do any podcasting out there? No? No podcasting?
No, I had a guy at ESPN, and we were going to do one, and approached it with ESPN, and they were like, we have too many podcasts as it is. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that they had to, like, edit it. I thought you just, you know,
just go
send
and
me
write
the equipment, and I post it myself. I didn't realize that, so no.
Yeah. E.T.'s a podcasting man.
Yep.
How's the –
They got to listen and check up on you, D-Rock.
Yeah.
Can't just be posting anything D-Rock wants to post.
Yes, I'm so –
Right, they have to listen through to see if he's –
I'm so controversial.
Breaking Big Mouse policy, something like that. E, how's the response so far on the call-in line this week?
I still need some people to hit my line now. Y'all act like y'all still down, but, you know, I'm up. You know, I'm up. It's game week.
You bounce back.
I bounce back decent, baby.
207-7071.
I drink that winter sauce and it get me up.
You want what? What are they telling you this week?
I need to know what do the Jacksonville Jaguars have to do to get not back on track. To get on track.
To get on track.
Yes, sir.
For the first time.
Get on track. It's a home
Urban Meyer,
game.
Trevor Lawrence era.
Or just call me and express your excitement about being back at TIAA to see the start of the new era right here in Duval,
All
baby.
All right. There you go. D-Rock, how do you explain the lack of, I don't know, anything good? You know, but seriously, you know,
none of that should have happened.
So attention to detail, that's what we hear about Urban Meyer.
Right.
Like, how do they have it as many issues as they did in week one?
Apparently, there was – I don't understand because none of that happened in the preseason games. The fact that you went through three preseason games and you didn't have the chaos on the sideline, you know, maybe it was the additional – you know, they were – pretty not vanilla, but they didn't open the playbook up offensively and defensively much in the preseason. So I guess they threw, you know, everything out, and you've got confusion on guys running in and off the field, you know, not sure what package is going on, the plays getting in late, they're having to call timeout. I mean, it was just disorganization, and they've got to simplify all that this week. Now, I won't put any of the penalties on that, okay, the except for the, you know, maybe one delay a game.
Right, and the need to call the timeout in the first minute.
But, like, lining up wrong, the illegal formation, no. That G.J. Chark's a fourth-year receiver, and Cam Robinson is this is fifth year, right? Fifth year. You should know where to line up. There's no excuse for that. None.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, that is and I heard Jeff talking the other day about the holding penalty on Brandon Linder, and it's because of where he has his arms, and that's kind of the way he always does stuff, his fundamentals. Well, then fix that. That's on you. That's ridiculous. I mean, the penalties like that and having 12 guys in the huddle, the 12 guy in the huddle is probably, what was it? Was that in the third quarter maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the third quarter? I mean, I don't know. That's part of the confusion with the packages and the amount of personnel that they're doing and changing and all this other stuff. That's an inexcusable one as well. I mean, this is your fourth game. None of that should have happened. So there was players were getting yelled at on the sideline. Coaches were getting yelled at. Coaches were yelling. It was not the most conducive environment there. So they've got to simplify things and I guess just make it a little bit easier for everybody to kind of get along, I guess. And the other thing is, this is a team. This team chirps. This team chirps so much when they're getting their rear ends kicked more than any other team I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, Charlie Strong jumped all over Miles Jack after that, as he should have. It's like, what are you guys doing? You're getting your rear ends kicked. Make the tackle. Walk back to the huddle.
Right.
It's just, it was a total mess. And this Sunday, if they come out and it's a total mess again, then you can press the panic button. But if they fix all that stuff and you don't see any of those issues, then that's a really good sign that at least they've got a handle on some of the mistakes that they made and they made corrections and it worked.
All right, good to know, Tony. If we fix everything, we'll be good.
Yeah. Nope. That's not what I said.
And I
can't. Not what I said.
And I can't unsee since Jeff told us about the illegal formation on the Chark touchdown, the 41-yard touchdown. They were lined up illegally. The officials didn't call it.
They missed it.
Yeah. Like, and every time they show the highlight, like, the Jaguars keep retweeting, look at this play by DJ Chark. And every time I see it, I'm like, they're lined up illegally. Like, it's just right there. They're both on the line of scrimmage on the left
that
side.
That is a 100% penalty on the players, not the coaches.
Yeah.
100% on the players.
Quickly, a few people have brought this to my attention. Do you see the tweet from the roofclaim.com people?
Yes.
Yesterday, right? It says the Jacksonville Jaguars, this was yesterday, will be making an exciting announcement tomorrow, meaning today. And RoofClaim US is the Twitter handle. We'll be sharing the announcement on their social media channels. Stay tuned. Hashtag roof technology. And then they misspelled experts.
Yes.
They left the T out in experts. So I hope their attention to detail is better if they're installing some kind of temporary shade device.
I don't think that's it.
You don't think that's it? What do you think it is? Do
we know?
I'm gonna say
I don't
based
know.
On your face.
You sound like you know so.
I'm gonna say no, based on your
I don't
face.
Think they're
don't expect it to be that.
Okay? They are not building a roof over the stadium.
No, they're not gonna. But they talk about wanting to add shade to the stadium. Miami has like a temporary thing that
right when they redo the stadium in 3 or 4 years or start redoing it, that'll be a major part of it. So that's. Like, high on the priority list for when they redo the stadium.
Hmm. Darn it.
What you know, D-Rock?
He knows something. He knows what it's not.
What are you worried about? In the studio.
I'm
worried
never
about
there. I am
for the people. This show is for the people.
That's
the people.
Exactly who we are. That's who we are, man. We're the conduit. Try to be. All right, let's get to some of this sound here. Urban Meyer yesterday saying he just does not pay attention to negative media stories.
I learned about 6 years ago when I read something that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I said, I'm good. I'm done. I'll never read again. So Amy helps me with that. She sends me just the positive stuff. It's been kind of small, but.
What did you read?
Every article I read.
What was it you read?
You have to ask Amy. I don't read that. No, I can promise you I don't read this narrative and I don't read the silliness about our players or about. And she knows that. She's just, hey, did you hear? And I'm like, oh, is that right?
So there's body language experts out there reading everything that you're, every time you're on camera, and they're like, he looks defeated, he looks like his heart's not in it, this, that, and the other. I mean, like, can you?
I'd rather just talk about the game, if that's right.
Okay.
I don't want to get into the body language. There's no winning that, right? Like, you know. It really isn't. You open yourself up to every week, they're going to ask you about. Because he's up there yesterday, part of the times his arms are folded. People are picking that apart, and sometimes they're not, and whatever. But there was much speculation yesterday on XL Primetime whether that was a Matt Hayes column that he read. It would have been like 8 years ago, I think Matt said.
More than that, I thought. Yes.
Well, it might have been.
That would make sense, because that's what I was asking him. I think he thought I was asking him, what's the positive story you read? But I wanted to know what's the negative story
you read. Right, because Amy Palchik, who's the Jags director of communications, would not have known the six-year-old story. Anyway, so that was Urban on the negative media stuff.
Also, Urban Meyer speaking yesterday, the way he described it, the team has a bruised soul right now.
Some guys play a lot of football in that locker room, and they deserve our very best, and that's what it is. So, other than a bruised soul that we all have right now, we're still swinging away. And like I said, you'd probably see a little different look on my face if I had bad guys. Or, that's not the case at all.
All right, so he's trying to focus on some positives. What are those positives he can focus on?
I was warned many, 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 many times. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. And we're healthy. Where attitudes are good, we have good players, and we're building something. So, our special teams, we're incredible, some really good efforts. Josh Allen had some really good efforts. We got to get rid of the damn penalties, and we got to not turn the ball over.
Yeah, pretty simple. In that regard, we'll see how simple it is to actually get those things done when Denver gets to town. Trevor Lawrence also speaking to the media yesterday, and Lawrence was asked about how he feels about after going back and watching the tape against the Houston Texans.
Pretty much how we felt after the game was spot on. Obviously, you find a few things that are good and a few things that are bad that you didn't know before when you watch the tape, but really just penalties. We got to be cleaner, got to be sharper, got to be quicker in and out of the huddle. procedurally. And then for me, just taking care of the ball, like I said, some bad decisions. And then you got to, you know, Houston did a good job. Got to give it to them defensively. Just being always being around the ball. I mean, there was a couple plays that were tipped or whatever that they almost picked too. So it's just they did a good job. They had a good game plan, but I made it easy on them in some of those turnovers, just throwing it to them. So I got to do a better job, take care of the ball. It's so important in this game, especially in this league. You know, you go down in the margin minus three, it's going to be hard to overcome that. So it's all of us, though. We all got to be better, but it starts with me for sure. So those turnovers are direct reflection of me.
The CEO right there. I mean, he just breathe deep. He still
and you feel better after he talks. It's like they're going to fix it.
Every time, right? Go out there. Because you actually believe he might.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we've seen him excel.
The,
so
the most impressive thing to me about Trevor, I mean, he made it some ungodly throws. But after the game, in the post-game interview, you know, he's going through it. Unsolicited, he basically he describes what happened on each interception and totally owned all of it. But then at the end, he says, I'm going to be fine. I've got the right stuff. I know everything's going to be okay. Essentially. But he did say, I've got the right stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Now I feel really, 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 even more so convinced that this kid's headed for stardom. Because he didn't say it in an arrogant way.
Right.
But he's like, I'll fix those interceptions. I got this. Don't worry about me. What he basically was saying is, my confidence will not be shot. Do not worry about that. I'm going to be fine. I'll figure this out and then we'll be good.
Well, his demeanor is as even-keeled as you could ever hope for in a quarterback. One thing that Urban Meyer brought up, because there was some talk about, after the game, questions we got. Are they telling him not to run? Are they telling Trevor not to run? Don't put himself in danger. And Urban said, no, this is something maybe he needs to use that athleticism a little bit more. Trevor asked the same question. What about using his skills as a runner?
There wasn't many where it was like a for sure one where it was wide open, I should have ran. But I think just in general of using my legs and extending plays and not just sitting in the pocket, you know, that's a part of my game that I think helps me, helps the team, and can keep plays alive. Like, that's something that I do well. So continuing to do that, and we talked about that in the preseason, and I feel like I got a little bit better, and then this week kind of was in the, you know, could have done a little bit more. So just something I'm always going to work on. But, you know, that's usually a pretty natural part of my game, so I'm not too concerned. I think the more comfortable I get, that'll start to show.
And in line with our question of the day, just asking listeners out there to predict the stat line this weekend for James Robinson and Carlos Hyde and coming out of the backfield for the Jaguars. Trevor was asked about this team just needing to be more balanced going forward.
Yeah, very important. You see, kind of, we got in a hole there and had to throw the ball a lot, which is just how it is. So it's tough. But like I said, it's still, even though we did throw it 50 times, we had a lot of opportunities for big plays that I missed. The turnovers, like I said, a lot of things. So even though we were in that hole, we did have a lot of opportunities. But obviously you want to have a balanced attack, and we do. We have, you know, we got the guys to do it, so I'm not concerned with that. But it's just about playing cleaner early so you don't get down 17, 21, whatever it is, and then you kind of have to play catch up. So that's the idea, is just staying in the game by not shooting yourself in the foot, and we did that too much. So getting better at that.
Well, and that feeds into our question of the day. We're asking you to predict the stat lines for James Robinson and Carlos Hyde. How many carries, rushing yards, catches, receiving yards, and total touchdowns each will get? It's a little bit of a labor-intensive question of the day, but we appreciate it if you do take the time to submit your answer there on Twitter. And then finally, with Trevor here, says the Denver defense is going to be a lot different than the one they saw against Houston.
It's a lot different. This is still a big zone team, but more match principles. You know, so they really good athletes that can carry and play man, and their disguises are really good in the back end. And then up front, you know, they got the two linebackers. They're really like DNs, but can drop play coverage. You know, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. They got a lot of other guys, too, that can roll in. But those two guys on the edge, great pass rush. They make it tough. To break contain. Just they do such a good job of setting the edge, and then they got the coverage players too. So they do a good job mixing it up in the secondary, showing you something pre-snap and changing it. So we got a challenge in front of us for sure, but I feel like we had a great first day of prep, and I like our plan so far.
All right, there you go, the quarterback and leader of your football team.
The CEO.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
All right, well, whatever. He's all those things and more. Trevor Lawrence, the golden child, please go get us a win this week, Trev, you and your 21 primary teammates out there. All right, we'll save Shaq Griffin for the other side. Tony's going to take you around the league. Coming up, we'll hear from the Jaguars' multi-million-dollar cornerback, and we'll see what he thinks they've learned from last week's experience and going forward as well, what makes them think they can play better. And then we got Breakfast Bowl coming up at about 20 after the hour as D-Rock tries to go back-to-back to open up his title defense this week, and Taylor tries to get out of the should we call it the dollhouse instead of the doghouse? That's where she's living right now. All right, all that and more coming your way in hour two of Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a foot injury during practice on Wednesday and will be out for 6 to 8 weeks for the boys. Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said yesterday that wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. will not play this week against the Houston Texans. Beckham was also held out last week for the Browns. New York Jets wide receivers Jamison Crowder and Keelan Cole have both returned to practice and are reportedly on schedule to both play this week for the Jets after being held out of the Jets' week one loss to Carolina. San Francisco claimed running back Trenton Canton after he was waived by the Baltimore Ravens. Cincinnati has placed safety Ricardo Allen on injured reserve with a broken hand and a hamstring strain, so he will miss at least the next 3 weeks, which includes the Jaguars' Thursday night matchup with the Bengals in week four. Week two in the NFL gets started tonight with the 0-1 New York Giants on the road in the NFC East to play the 0-1 Washington football team. For the Giants, running back Saquon Barkley is officially listed as questionable but is expected to play tonight. Tight end Evan Ingram has been ruled out for the Giants. Washington running back Antonio Gibson was a full participant in practice Wednesday, was not listed on the football team's injury report going into the game tonight, so he will be on the field.
All right, thank you, Tony. There you go. Thursday Night Football kicking off week two. Fresh week. I will say this. I feel better about – I just feel like, okay, it's time to, for me personally, to be over it, wipe the slate clean. It is a 17-game season. We've got a lot more of these to go. You're going to have your ups and downs, but I got to see – much better execution in week two. Like D-Rock said, maybe panic mode if you have the same kind of mental errors that you did in week one.
Oh, without question.
Denver, I picked them to go to the playoffs, but I don't think they're a world-beating team. You know, if Bradley Chubb doesn't play, we know Jerry Jeudy is ruled out. They're not going to be at full strength there. We'll see. But I'll tell you right now, I'm picking the Jags to lose this week. I find it hard to reconcile any other outcome. Not saying they can't win, but, I mean, to expect it coming off that performance against that team last week, I think Denver is considerably better. I think will prove to be considerably better than Houston over the course of the season. So I do feel just like I've kind of gotten out of the malaise, though, of that's gone. Let's not have six more of those in a row. But for now, I'm willing to let bygones be bygones, Tony, and move along here. And part of that will be seeing Shaq Griffin hopefully play well. Match up with Cortland Sutton and earn that money that he's being paid. Big fat contract. Secondary cannot allow these 50-50 balls to be completed like they did on a couple of them last week. Here's Shaq on what he and the team learned from the Houston game.
Find a way not to get frustrated with how the game is going, but focus on completing each task, each play, one play at a time. You know, we can't kind of figure out what the offense may do each game, but we can control what defense does each play. And that's the part that we got to do better at. You know, once you get to a point where everybody's trying to make a play, depending on what the score is, you got some people who jump gaps. Including myself, you know I have a thirds, but I'm trying to make a play for the team. I start to sit a little bit. I shouldn't. So getting back to just doing our job, doing what we need to do, staying poised, staying under control, and doing exactly what our job description is on each play. I feel like that's the biggest thing, that biggest lesson that we took from this game.
This is worrisome to me because this is something that we heard for years on these bad Jaguar teams. We're giving up these huge plays because guys are giving up their gap assignments, right? Everyone wants to be the hero. And he's here in the first game of the season.
You want the panic now is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, you know you shouldn't do something, but you're, quote, trying to make a play for the team. You're playing hero ball, right? I mean, play your assignment because that's how it starts. It cascades. One guy gets out of position. Somebody else thinks, I got to chase this guy. This is my lane. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm playing the backside, whatever, cutback, whatever. But I think I can run around and run him down on the other side. I'm going to make a play. And then all of a sudden, your lane is wide open. It's like on special teams. You run down, you're out of your lane. That's how big plays get hit. And the fact that you've got one of the veterans who you should be able to count on to play his assignment saying he's out there playing hero ball when he knows he shouldn't in game one of the season is worrisome to me.
Well, and it sounds like such a simple concept. Just do what you're supposed to do on play X.
Take care of you.
Just take care of you, and that's it. I don't care. You don't need to care about anybody else. If you're drawing Courtland Sutton in man coverage, take care of that. That's all you got to worry about. If you're responsible for the A-gap, just deal with that. But it seems like that is what happens on teams all the time, not just here. I mean, that's how a lot of big plays happen. Guys
sure.
doing that thing. It's such a simple concept, but in the heat of the moment, it's just hard for some guys to stick with it. And, you know, what was it? Was it the I can't remember which Patriots Super Bowl it was, but the whole mantra, Bill Belichick screaming when they had that, you know, video of them the whole year, is do your job, do your job, mm-hmm. do your job. And it's the same thing. Just do what the hell you're supposed to do. Don't worry about anybody else. Just trust that they'll get their job done.
And that's the big thing. When you don't trust that, you know, you don't have that chemistry or that belief in the guy next to you or he has a history of being out of position and you feel like you got to cover for him, that's when things can cascade. So hopefully that does get corrected in short order.
Shaq Griffin yesterday also said that there was definitely frustration for himself and the team during the game.
When I say that, you know, you start seeing the score kind of get up on you, right? And everybody wants to make the play. So you start hearing coaches, we got to get the ball back. Let's make a play. Let's get a pick. Let's get a fumble. In our head, we're thinking, man, how can I do this? How can I be that guy? This is myself talking to myself. Like, how can I make this play? So I can, one play, for a great example, you know, I'm getting a fade ball. Like I'm a third corner. I'm getting a fade ball, but I see number two. The inside guy running the out route, and I'm looking at the quarterback dead in his eyes, looking at his out route, thinking about throw it, and I'm ready to sit down and jump a route trying to make a play for the team, but that's not my job. And that's the frustrating part. I'm frustrated because I want to make this play so bad, but I know my team need me to do my job. So you start to get that a little confused because you're like, man, how can I do it? How can I do it? But at the end of the day, you just got to do your job, and I feel like that's more than enough to make the right play. Because if I'm in the right position, you know, there's no telling that ball goes over my head. I can try to make that play now, you know. So that's the frustrating part because you want to be – everybody wants to be the guy to make that play because they're trying to help their team win. There's nobody on this defense that's not trying to do their best to help this team win. So that's the part that gets frustrated.
Yeah, and to be clear, not questioning the motivation behind it, right? It's a hero ball. I'm not saying he's trying to glorify himself. He's trying to make plays. They all want to make plays, but like you said, do your job, play your assignment, and trust the guy next to you, especially in the opener, when they haven't proven to you that they're not worthy of trusting them. You know what I mean? All right, what was the vibe like for this team after their week one game?
Any real competitor going to feel some type of way after a loss like that. You kind of practice that week. You feel like you gave everything you could. You feel like you got a big step in coming to the game the right way. Understand that you know exactly what you're going to get from this team, and it doesn't go your way. I think Meyer said it best, you know, it was unexpected. Because, you know, you give so much to this in practice that week, you imagine that you're going to win that game. But, you know, wins aren't promised. Doesn't matter how hard you work. But, you know, that's the part that we got to continue to get better at. And we're going to focus on that. You know, but like I said, a real competitor is going to feel some type of way about the loss because you don't like losing. So, yeah, the energy wasn't right after the game. But, like I said, we gave them guys 24 hours to kind of, you know, look over the game, see the corrections, and you got to move forward. You know, that's the league. And I'm glad that the young guys are starting to understand that part of the game.
One more thought here from Shaq Griffin speaking to the media yesterday. Just was asked what he thought of the communication on the defensive side of the ball last week against Houston.
Oh, yeah, it was some great things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the defense did a terrible job the whole game. It's some great things we took from him, but I feel like the biggest part was, okay, if I had one mistake, another guy had one mistake, then another guy had one mistake. You know, you have one mistake, but you start adding it all up, and you go up to 10, 12 mistakes. That's the part that can't happen. So you try to eliminate those type of mistakes, but it's so many good things because we did communicate well. It was a great feeling, but like I said, the best feeling was the first series. That's the part that we continue to talk about because we have to build off that. And, you know, I feel like going into a game two, it's going to be a huge difference because we learn so much about each other after playing with each other for the first time, a full game. It's going to be a big difference.
I would have put a lot of money down after that first series, man. All right, three and out. This is exactly what I expected. Here we go. Trevor time. Go. Bam. And I would have lost all of that.
All of the money.
All of the money. So that's why I don't bet on the outcome of sporting events. But I do try to predict the stats of certain individuals, which coincides with our next segment coming up. The Breakfast Bowl Week 2. We'll tell you where everybody stands. We know this. Taylor's got the first pick as we head into the second week of the National Football League season. With Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. Taylor Dahl joins us next for the Breakfast Bowl on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and beautiful people all across the world. Let's get ready for the Breakfast Bowl Challenge!
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, here we go. It is week two of the NFL season, Thursday at 11:20-ish. Time for the Breakfast Bowl. Once again, we welcome in Taylor Dahl. Taylor, everyone is glad to see you today. How are you?
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much for breakfast. Thank you to Robert Tonyan,
yes,
or maybe to Aaron Rodgers for not getting him the ball. Here's what hurt Taylor last week. Each one of us had at least one player in our lineup that went for 25 points. In some cases, a couple. Taylor's quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, as she should have known, being a Titan that he is, Tony, let her down with only 14 points. So you didn't have that big explosion. E.T. tried to make it up to you with a couple of zeros.
I tried to be a gentleman.
I literally needed eight at night, and I was like, come on, I have two players after 1 o'clock. I need 8 points, and that did not happen.
Man, not good.
Poor Taylor.
I needed eight out of Mark Andrews to overtake D-Rock, and he got five. Thanks, Mark Andrews, for nothing.
Like five quarters.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You had OT. I was like, I'm dead now.
I had all that extra time, got nothing out of it. But D-Rock took it down, his lineup of Kyler Murray, Joe Mixon, DJ Moore, Jonnu Smith, and Julio Jones. Not great there for Julio, but 89.66 points. And you get the .66 because the quarterback. We're taking it straight off our ESPN Jaguars Today League scoring, right?
Yep.
So quarterback scoring, you get the .04 is where we're at on that one for every passing yard. So I was second with a little over 82 points. Tony was third with 61 and change. E.T. 51.86 to Taylor's 49.82. It was a nail biter.
You said my score was a little, like, I don't know. You said
pressure. 51.86.
Okay. All right, bet. All right, cool. Just...
Fantastic showing by E.T. in week one. We're congratulating you, E. So the draft order is Taylor goes first, E.T., Tony, myself, then D-Rock. It's reverse order of last week's point total. We draft a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex. It is point per reception scoring. For those who don't play fantasy football, it means every catch is worth a point in addition to all the yardage and touchdowns you get as well. So if you selected a player last week, you better not take him again this week. You're going to get a big fat zero for that player. Once a player is selected, no one else can have that player in any given week. Taylor, the board is yours.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to grab Nick Chubb for my first.
All right, Nick Chubb it is, and got no issue with that. He was on my list of five running backs for sure. E.T., this is going to be fantastic. Everyone, if you've got this player on your roster, you might want to trade him before the injury report comes out today. E.T.
Give me Kareem Hunt.
He hates me right now, but you did it to Gus Edwards last week. So the two Browns running backs are off the board right away. Hunt was on my flex list this week. Tony Smith.
I'm going to go Najee Harris.
Najee Harris. Interesting play there, right? Nice bounce back, potentially. I considered him for sure this week. Everybody going running back crazy at the moment. I'm going to go instead, go big or go home, Travis Kelce. I saw Darren Waller do fairly well against that Baltimore defense. I think Patrick Mahomes can get Kelce the ball enough on Sunday Night Football. D-Rock, you got back-to-back picks here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Okay, he's a good one. Against Atlanta.
And I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara.
Okay, Alvin Kamara off the board. So everybody except myself has a running back at this point in time. Boy. All right, I'm going to go here with Russell Wilson to tear up that Tennessee secondary like Kyler Murray did last week. Tony Smith.
I will go Keenan Allen, please.
Keenan Allen was the top of my receiver list. Should have taken him. Should have taken him. E.T., back to you with Kareem Hunt.
I'm going Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, big bounce back. Smelling a bounce back. Where are we at? Taylor, Nick Chubb, you got back-to-back picks here.
I am going to grab Kyler Murray.
What?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Kyler?
See, yeah. I'm like, what
I'm
are you talking about?
I do that to E.T. more than all the 14 time. Points.
I think by the end of the first quarter, you might be safe on that one. All right, Kyler, and who would you like next?
And I will do Adam Thielen.
Okay, thought you might go for the hookup there, but still a chance. All right, Thielen off the board as we move back to E.T. with Kareem Hunt and Devontae Adams.
I'm going to throw Jamar Chase in my flex.
He's going to throw Jamar Chase in the flex, he says. All right. You look good in week one. I'm not going to make any snide remarks so far about your team. Tony, you've got Najee Harris and Keenan Allen.
DK Metcalf, please.
Metcalf. Okay. Okay, comes off the board. Don't know what D-Rock's going to do, but he's always a good play, so I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver. We're going big guns earlier this year, I feel. I told Tony after last week's draft, I said, oh, what an idiot I am. The one guy left off my sheet was Raheem Mostert. Mm-hmm. I had the great matchup with Detroit. Starts out 2 carries for 20 yards. Of course, then he's hurt out for the year because That's Raheem Mostert, but then Elijah Mitchell goes on to have the big game, and you know Mostert was headed for that, so I saved myself. D-Rock, you got Brady and Kamara.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tyreek Hill this week.
Tyreek Hill, all right.
And
tight end or a flex?
I'm going to go Noah Fant.
Oh, you're doing
that's a
it.
Good one.
Bad guy.
You are a bad guy right there. He was second on my list. That's why I took Kelce quickly.
I guess I'll go ahead and scratch him off my list.
I did not have to be the bad guy here. All right, I was saving this
I don't
one.
Mind that role.
Course correction. It's course correction week two, Monday Night Football. Give me Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Against Detroit, please, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so I need a flex still. Tony, need a quarterback or a tight end?
I'll go T.J. Hockenson, please.
Hockenson, okay. Got him. E.T., need a quarterback or a tight end?
Let me go with Matt Stafford.
You go on with Matt Stafford, playing against the Colts, who gave up 4 touchdowns to Russell Wilson last week. Taylor's got Kyler Murray, Nick Chubb, and Adam Thielen. Need a tight end and a flex here, Taylor. Get them both.
Okay, I'm going to grab Logan Thomas.
Okay.
And then
it's a big one tonight, so we can either mock Taylor or congratulate her tomorrow.
Start good or really bad, right away. And then Chris Carson.
Chris Carson. All right. Doubling up big time in the flex there. All right. E.T., tight end.
Let's go Gronk.
Why not? Right? Love it. Tony, need your quarterback.
Justin Herbert, please.
Yeah, like that one, too. A lot of good plays this week out there, I felt. Let's see. That brings me to a flex position right here. I'm going to go with the Dalton revenge game narrative, getting the ball to Allen Robinson against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Give me A-Rob in the flex this week. And D-Rock, a flex for you as well.
Yeah, I'm struggling here. I'm not really sure what
how
I want to do.
How the fruit cup come along this morning?
Maybe if I had a little extra.
That's where the brain power.
Brain sugar in my head here.
Which Broncos receiver do you want to throw against the Jaguars?
Yeah, that is.
Or how about a running back?
That is
bad
a good
guy.
Question. I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks. All right. Nothing to mock here so far in the selections. Let's go with Taylor's team has Kyler Murray, Nick Chubb, Adam Thielen, Logan Thomas, and Chris Carson in the flex. ET opens up week two with Matt Stafford, Kareem Hunt, Davante Adams, Rob Gronkowski, and Jamar Chase. Tony goes with Justin Herbert, Najee Harris, Herbert hooking up with Keenan Allen, TJ Hockenson, the tight end, and DK Metcalf in the flex. I go with Russell Wilson at quarterback, Aaron Jones at running back, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, and Allen Robinson. I'd roll with that team in any week, pretty much. D-Rock's got Tom Brady, Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill, Noah Fant. Again, bad person. And Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks going to catch a couple of 50-50 bombs this week, you're anticipating?
Sure.
Is that in the cards for him?
Well, I'm just... I don't want to use up all my good receivers and running backs too early in the flex because I worry about the last part of the season. I
understood.
Want to finish strong, so I'm going to take a little bit of a chance on
We've
Brandon Cooks.
We've got 18 weeks of flex plays that we have to fill. So, yeah. You know, if you go starting running back in the flex, you will, you know, all the time, you'll right. run out. But you don't have to, so we'll see how it works out. All right, there we go. D-Rock in first place by a couple. Taylor in last place by a couple. But things will change over the course of the season. Who will buy breakfast next Thursday Ooh. To be determined?
Breaking news. Matt Stafford has decided to retire.
Again?
Rob Gronkowski joining him?
Oh, that one wouldn't surprise all that. Now, Gronk's having way too much fun right here. All right, E.T., I have a lot of these players on a lot of teams, and I will be nervous all afternoon now.
Man, this team is stacked.
All right. We shall see. That's what you... thought last week as well, but that's what we all think.
They're all pretty much stacked.
They
this
all
week.
This week.
It's a really good week.
This is a stacked
week. We're all going to regret this in like week 15.
That doesn't matter because we'll all be in the same boat.
Well,
be picking up scraps.
Last week I tried to be sneaky and it did not work. So I am
work for
I'm
the
getting
rest
some
of us.
Numbers. Yeah.
Your
yeah,
approach
right.
worked
work,
for
work
us.
For me. I went with CMC though last week. So mm-hmm. I'm firing big guns early this season. Never know when they're going to get hurt, man.
That's
usually
true.
When they're healthy. So, all right. There you go. Breakfast bowl in the books. Taylor, good luck. Thank you for joining us. And,
Ain't we'll be, no good luck.
well, good luck for us. So, yeah. You know, I don't care. As long as it's not me, I don't care. If Taylor can have luck. It doesn't really matter to me. All right. Wow. Coming up next, we will maybe if we have time, we'll hear a little bit from LaVisca Chenault. We'll take a look at the question today, make our predictions for how involved these running backs are going to be in the game plan coming up against Denver this week. That is what we're asking you on the question of the day. What do you predict the stat lines to be for both James Robinson and Carlos Hyde. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. Taylor out the door. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
If you, as the Broncos, think you're going to be relatively decent, you take care of business, I think the same thing holds true for this Sunday. Is they probably have better personnel, but you know the Jaguars, I would expect them to play better.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Have fun sucking then. Still, the most memorable words that ever come out of the mouth of Ryan O'Halloran in my memory. Joined us in the first hour from the Denver Post. You can go back and listen on 1010XL.com if you've missed it earlier today.
Have fun sucking then.
There you go. Coming up, he was angry about
Coughlin.
Access to yeah. the assistant coaches and yep. thought his lack of access to the assistant coaches would result in the Jaguars not playing well on the field. And
that was before the 17 season, by
yes,
the way.
So that didn't work out. That did not work out.
He was just
one of the
a
rare
year
occasions.
Ahead of his time. That's all.
Maybe. Or maybe he just needs to predict bad things for the Jags more often, right? And then maybe it'll go the other way. I don't know, despite him. Anyway, Ryan O'Halloran joined us. Coming up, we will answer the question of the day, predicting the stat lines for James Robinson and Carlos Hyde. Look at some of your responses as well. But Hayes Carline, our 1010XL embedded Jaguars reporter, had a chance to go one-on-one with second-year wide receiver LaVisca Chenault yesterday, so let's listen in.
LaViska, it's great to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us coming off the field after Wednesday's practice. First off, how's everything going for you? How's your family doing?
Oh, thank you for having me. And my family's doing good. You know, there's always ups and downs in life, so, but everything is all right.
Good. And did I hear you bought a house this offseason? Is that right?
Yes, sir. I did buy a 5-bedroom house.
That's awesome. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, of course, of course. You know, I'm still in the process of filling it up, but or filling it in.
Yeah.
But, well, that's it's coming along good.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Big game on Sunday. Is it extra big for you with it being Denver, since you are obviously such a star out in Colorado?
I guess a lot of people is looking at it that in that way, but it's just another game for me. Of course, it's always exciting to get to play another game and get to go do what I love to do. So, but you know, I'm happy to get in front of those Denver fans and Colorado fans and show them what I can do at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the first game Sunday against Houston, 7 catches. You also got to 9-yard carry. How did you feel like it went for you individually against the Texans?
Individually, I felt like I checked the boxes of so far of like what I needed to be detailed about. You know, winning those 1-on-1 battles. You know, it was the first game. I think honestly I got to come out more aggressive.
Yeah, I got what you're saying, and I know the team success wasn't what you guys would have wanted. I asked Urban earlier today about you, and he said he played well, but they want to get you more in space, and obviously I got to imagine that's got to be pretty exciting for you to hear that the coaching staff's looking to get you even more in position to make those kind of big-time plays.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I love the ball in my hands, of course, and I love making guys miss. So the more open field I got, the better for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Trevor really showed off his fastball Sunday. Was it different than how it had been in practice? Was he a little amped up, or was it the same Trevor that you guys have been practicing with?
Oh, it was the same pretty much. You know, in practice you're a little bit more comfortable. To be honest, he throws the ball harder than that.
And it seems like on those quick throws to you, man, it gets there fast. How much does that extra millisecond help you in terms of setting up where you're going to go with the ball?
Well, first off, I need to make sure I catch it first. And and with a ball like that, you better make sure you catch it first. But, you know, having a quick ball on you like that, you're able to, you know, of course, you know, capture the catch, tuck it, and make a move quicker than rather a ball coming later. So it's always good to have a quicker ball.
Yeah, absolutely. LaViska, what stands out about this Broncos secondary that you guys are going to be going up against?
Oh, they're aggressive. You got some vets back there as well. They're ball hawks. They look like they're hungry. So, you know, we gotta take what we do in practice and take it to the game.
With you still being such a young player, how has your routine during the week changed in terms of, you know, prepping for the opponent and making sure that you've got all your assignments down? Has that changed at all from when you came into the league last year?
Most definitely. I'm more into the book, studying more. I'm more into watching film now. Like, I'm more, like, I can just understand the defenses more now. So, it's definitely a big difference than last year, and it's all about the accountability and you know, putting the time in to, you know, better those things.
Urban's talked to us about all the new equipment that he's provided, you know, to help, you know, you guys stay healthy and keep your bodies right. Is there certain things that they've brought in that you've really appreciated?
Yes, they have an art bed that they brought in. I think that's very it's a good thing to have. I just say that.
Well, what's it like?
Yeah, you lay down in it, and it's like they have different type of modes, but it's infrared, and it basically just
the muscles and
I
stuff.
I don't know how to say it. Yep. I don't even know how to say it.
Can you tell a difference though when you've been in it that it's done its job?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You can feel the difference. You can feel a change.
And then I was going to – I really appreciate your time, LaViska. We'll get you out on this one. In today's practice, what was sort of the emphasis for you guys? Was it more operational in terms of formations and things like that? Or what was sort of the big focus that Darrell Bevell had for you guys as an offense today out there?
The main thing today was just, you know, those little things, detailed things, doing things right. Just doing things right, being where you need to be. And doing it fast.
What's it like having Trevor at quarterback for you as a receiver? What's it been like so far, and what do you think it'll be like moving forward?
It's been great, and I think it can only get better.
Well, LaViska Shenault, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and certainly best of luck Sunday against Denver.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, LaViska with Hayes Carlion yesterday, and you can hear that on demand at 1010XL.com. D-Rock, we were talking about in the break that – you know, the loss of Travis Etienne, they don't have a direct replacement for him, really, on the roster. And, you know, certainly the running backs are nowhere near the type of running back that Travis Etienne is in terms of the breakaway speed. And Visca's not really that guy. And where he said, I like to make guys miss, he also likes to pummel people, right, which is nice. Right. But, you know, like, Visca will probably – he's not slow, but he's not – I mean, Etienne has, like, beep, beep, gone kind
right.
of speed.
Right.
So,
and that's an element the offense, like you said, doesn't have. I mean, Philip Dorsett can run great. The kid they claim from the Chargers can run great. But, you know, just being able to run is a lot different than being in space with a little wiggle, make the guy miss and go 60. And that, I think, is what obviously Travis Etienne was going to bring them. And they, you're right, there's just nobody else on the roster that can do that. And you're not going to be able to find a guy at this point either.
Well, unless James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, Tony, doing some speed training this week.
Oh.
So let's get to our predictions for the duo coming out of the Jags' backfield with a 10-10 take.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center. You're cared for by a team of experts working together on a treatment plan that's just for you.
All right, I will try to average these out once we all go through. So who would like to go first in today's predictions?
I'll go. James Robinson, 16 carries for 67 yards.
Okay.
Three catches for 21 with a touchdown. And Carlos Hyde, 8 rushes for 27 yards and 1 catch for 5.
8 for 27 and 1 for 5 and no touchdowns for Carlos Hyde. So a 2-1 carry advantage for James Robinson is what Tony is predicting. D-Rock, what do you got?
Yeah, my numbers are actually kind of similar. I have 15 for 80 and a touchdown for James Robinson, 3 catches for 30 yards, no touchdowns.
Okay.
And then with Hyde, I've got him 9 for 40 and a touchdown and 1 catch for 5 yards. So
you guys hit that number together, 1 for 5.
All right. Urban said, I asked Urban yesterday, and he's like, yeah, we're going to get him more involved. There's no way he's going to go into a game with just 5 or leave a game with just 5 carries again.
Come on, Robinson.
James Robinson, yeah.
All right, so you got him at 15 for 80 with a touch, 3 catches for 30. E.T., what you got?
James Robinson, 15 carries, 90 yards, a touchdown.
90?
Yep.
Okay.
Carlos Hyde, 10 carries, 40 yards, no touchdown.
Okay, what about receptions?
Robinson, 3 catches, 25 yards, touchdown. Carlos, 2 catches, 15 yards, no touchdown.
Okay, so you got Robinson scoring twice this week.
Yes, sir.
Didn't see you selecting him in your fantasy draft.
Y'all worried about the wrong thing, because my guy's going to score more. That's what.
All right. I put him down for James Robinson, 14 for 60. That's 4.2 a carry, catching 4 for 30, 1 total touchdown. Out of however he gets it. Carlos Hyde, 11 carries. So a little bit in favor of James Robinson, but I don't think Carlos Hyde's going away in terms of touches. And I got him 11 for 45 with no catches out of the backfield. So, Tony, you want to take a peek at some of the responses we got to the question of the day?
Let me pull it up here.
If you could. And while you do that, I will do the math here and see if I can figure out what these average out to in terms of our predictions for the running back production. Go ahead.
Sure. From Cristiano, he's got J-Rob with 15 for 90 with 3 catches for 25 and a touchdown. Carlos Hyde, 10 for 50, 2 catches, 15 yards and a touchdown. So both guys score this week there for Cristiano. From Jack Fieri, He's got J-Rob, 20 carries for 100 yards, one catch for 10, and a touchdown this week. Carlos Hyde fading into the background, six carries for 25 yards, no catches, no touchdowns this week for him. For J-Rob, Jag fan says, six carries, 30 yards, three catches for 12. Carlos Hyde, 7 for 25, two catches for 10 yards from Ted. We got Carlos Hyde with 18 carries, 75 yards, four catches for 15 yards. He's got J-Rob with 10 carries compared to Carlos Hyde's 18 for 34 yards with three catches for 25 this week from Big Will. James Robinson, 22 carries for 115, 5 for 45 through the air, and two rushing touchdowns. Carlos Hyde, 5 for 44 in this one. Let's see. From Sean, we got James Robinson, 16 for 72, three catches for 18 yards and a touchdown. And Carlos Hyde, eight carries for 30 yards and no catches for Carlos this week. And from Cobalt Blue, for James Robinson, 20 for 90, five catches for 25 yards and a touch. And for Carlos Hyde, 10 for 45, no catches, no touchdowns.
All right, I didn't get all the receiving averaged out, but we basically all said that James Robinson will catch three passes out of the backfield for somewhere between 21 and 30 yards. On average, 15 carries for 74 yards. We all have him scoring, James Robinson, this week. So 15, so about 5 yards carry on average. ET was the high man with a 6 yard per carry projection. And 9.5 carries, so call it 10 if you like, for 38 yards. For Carlos Hyde with nothing on the ground. At least I think we had one touchdown prediction for him, yes. But I think that was you, D-Rock. You've got the backs dominating the Denver Broncos this week. Or was that Tony?
I think that was E.T.
Oh, was that E.T.? All right.
I had two touchdowns for both. One of them had each of them rushing for a touchdown.
Yeah, you did. That's right. You had Hyde with the TD. All right, so none of it matters. but we wanted to project. It matters what they do. Doesn't matter what the projections are. We'll find out how Urban Meyer and Darrell Bevell distribute those running back carries. Right now, let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit tireoutlet.com/careers, equal opportunity employer.
All right, Matt Hayes is here. Hello, Matt.
What's up, boys? I'm glad D-Rock's here. I want to ask him a question.
Go ahead.
Why did none of you guys get my back yesterday when Earth put a shot at me?
Huh?
Why did none of you guys get my back yesterday?
Asked what was the story that he didn't like, and he misunderstood the question. He thought I was asking what was the nice one, and I was like, it didn't actually hit me until afterwards. I was like, oh.
Why didn't one of you guys say what exactly in that story was false, Irvin?
Well, he didn't mention the story, the specific story.
You know I would have your back in the same
situation. Yeah, why? He just said I met, you know, there's one thing long time ago, and
yeah.
Honestly, it wasn't until we got back into the media room that we were like, oh, man, it was probably Maddie's story, wasn't it?
Anyway, what's going on, boys?
You tell us. How balanced do you think this offense will turn out this week?
The biggest jump is week one to week two, right? Let's hope it's a little more run game. Let's hope Trevor. I think on that first pick, Mike, had he run, had he scrambled a little bit, got 6-7 yards, I think that not only obviously takes away the interception, but I think that gives him a little confidence. It gives the offense a little confidence. It's yards that you don't really see. It's those hidden yards. They need plays like that. They need those hidden play yards. I think if they get that, the offense will be better, will be more balanced. I don't know how much more balanced. I mean, honestly, if you're trailing, you're always throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm. No, no doubt. Well, hopefully they won't always be trailing, at least
right,
early.
Right, you know, in theory, right.
Like in the first quarter, at least. Maybe we could stick with that ground game. What do you guys have coming up today?
We're going to talk a lot of college football, Jags and college football. We got Cole Kubik, ESPN analyst. He's going to break down the Florida-Alabama game. We're going to talk to our coach, Joe Campo, about the Jags and some college football. And Eric Rett, former Gator legend, will come on and talk about some Gators.
Excellent. I remember selecting Eric Rett in a dynasty fantasy draft in about 2001. He was supposed to be, was it Baltimore? He was supposed to be the lead guy that year. Like they had signed him that offseason, and I got him kind of late as my third running back. I recall this very specifically, and it wasn't that great. But I was at the time, I was like, he's the last of the starters in the pool. I'm taking him. I thought I had a coup at that point in time. It's funny what I remember. All right, Matt, have a great show today.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Matt Hayes, along with Joe C. Hacker and Big Leon Searcy, coming your way with XL Primetime. D-Rock, What kind of trouble are you stirring up at ESPN.com over the next few days?
I'm actually writing the James Robinson more involved story for tomorrow.
Are you going to quote my projections in it?
Sure.
No, you're not.
Did I not sound sincere?
Not at all.
I got to work on that.
You're going to get off the mat in the Jaguars Today Fantasy League, by the way? Mm. I mean, you're all, you know, breakfast bowl king, but what about the head-to-head Jaguars Today? Peace, foo, shade.
I just lost one game. I mean,
are we all panicking?
We're 0-1.
Is this what we do when teams lose one game? We
might.
Panic?
Are you gonna switch your lineup up a lot this week? Are you gonna
Probably.
Go to more ground based philosophy in the flex? Well, we want to know. People want to know, man. All right, D Rock enjoyed it as always. Bad luck on the Breakfast Bowl this week. You can find Mike DiRocco at ESPN DiRocco, and of course, go check out his work at ESPN.com. ET. 207-7071.
You say it so fluid.
Thank you, sir. People can call in, and what are you asking them to express this week?
I need to know what the Jags have to do to get on track as they come home to TIAA Bank Field and play in front of us, baby. It's Duval County.
What to do to get the Jaguars on track this week? Say it with your chest.
With your chest, baby.
Tony Smith, anything we need to know about your afternoon plans?
No.
Okay. Just asking.
Just getting ready for Thursday night football.
Excellent. Yeah. So am I.
Yeah.
Likewise. Hopefully it's half as exciting as all the primetime. We had great primetime games last week.
Great.
Just
yeah.
amazing primetime games, particularly Thursday and Monday. So let's start off week two in fine fashion. All right. That'll do it for us today. For Mike DiRocco, for Tony Smith, and for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran for joining us. Tomorrow, Tom McManus on the program. Former Bronco running back Monty Ball is scheduled to join the program as well. And we will talk to you then from 10 to noon right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Go Jacksonville! Go!